The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Welcome to Guardian Radio AM. This is C.A. Nuri, and I'm excited to be here today as we're going to be talking immigration. I mean, for weeks, not to say weeks, I mean, it's been weeks we've been talking about immigration, but of late, we have been inundated with calls saying, Nuri, tell Aaron we got to talk about this on Wednesday. And I said, man, Wednesday it is. It's Wednesday now. He said, no, you won't understand. You need to be talking about this issue from Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. And I say, Wednesday can be the day. So today we have, of course, Aaron Green from On The Clock. And of course, we have Ian Munnings. And we're going to hash it down. We're going to break it up. We're going to see what is happening. Are we being invaded? Would Lincoln Bean is doing and interviewing people trying to save the Bahamas for Bahamians? Is it what he doing bad? I need to have this discussion, Aaron. So welcome, Aaron Green, again.
Absolutely. Thank you. In fact, I was going to say, yeah, sometimes you need to pause, right? And I say to the callers, the audience, the listeners, right? Mm-hmm. I appreciate the sense of urgency, right, that you feel, that you have, not just feel, but that's within you. I appreciate the sense of urgency. But sometimes you need to let these women talk.
And then just go to Ian. Ian, the other day you was accosted because you have high cheekbones. I know that people stop you and ask you for your paper stem. We talking immigration today. We going to be talking serious talk.
Yeah.
Ain't going to be no too much greeny, you know, because I need to understand what is it. Because I saw about 400 you all stop in the Inagua the other day. And I want to know how we can stop this.
You're not going to like what I'm going to say.
No?
When it comes down when it comes down to those persons that consider themselves as organic Bahamians, like myself, I'm looking at the point of if we are in a crisis. We spoke about this last week. We had vague persons coming and explaining that the problem that we have, but nobody really standing in the front said there is a real crisis. There's something really happening here in the Bahamas. It needs to be addressed. Mm-hmm. Although it was a long, taxing situation, and former administrations over and over that they dealt with the same situation. But we need to now say, you know what, enough is enough, and jump in front of the bus and say, hey, this is where the bus ride stops.
I'm going to go back to Aaron because Aaron has some notes that we need to sift through. But one thing I wanted to point out, Aaron, you noticed that how he say as an organic Bahamian, and you know you and I are not organic Bahamian by the definition.
Yeah.
We mix up. We call salad Bahamian, true Bahamians, right? Yeah. And I kind of concerned that this organic high cheekbone by trying to disassociate us. I just said I hear him. I hear him. But what do we have on the agenda today so we can start a discussion in series?
I like, you know, what Ian said, that like that we, you know, we have a crisis. And
what crisis?
But listen, there is a crisis.
What crisis?
The question, though, is it a migrant crisis? So I tell you what I mean. Here's what I mean.
Go ahead.
There's obviously a crisis in Haiti. Don't mind that it took the Minister of Health to shift the government's narrative. Because health don't care about politics, right? Health don't care about your political narratives. The Minister of Health say, look here, we got to take people down to Inagua, beef up the infrastructure. And I can quote
Aaron,
his words.
Two shows ago, Aaron, I mentioned that Haiti didn't take no vaccine. And I am concerned that these boats come in and no one talking about the COVID situation at all. The Minister of Health is late.
That's not the point. I just need you to hear what he said. Of course he's late.
Go ahead.
Of course he's late. Mm-hmm. But it's what he said and then how the narrative changed as quickly as he said it.
Mm-hmm.
And the point is that you could spin any political narrative that you want. But when it comes to health matters,
mm-hmm.
there's no playing around. There's no twisting the narrative, right? And the minister says, he says, we're beginning to realize that what we're experiencing now may be something that would explode. And we intend to ensure that we do not put an excessive burden on the healthcare system in Inagua.
That's a warning.
That was yesterday, right? Because I was able to take that down today. In today's Guardian on the front page, we have a growing threat. PM says crisis in Haiti poses substantial threat, right?
Two words.
Now, pause. I'm wondering, was it that the prime minister was only made aware of the crisis state in Haiti once he assumed the chair of CARICOM, like once he was selected? Because from they told me that the UN and the US said they got to put in a leader, I knew there was going to be chaos. Mm-hmm. From the terms of the last sitting politicians expired and the senator's terms expired and there was no Haitian political official, elected official, right? Then we knew a crisis was looming. We knew to expect grander numbers. It's only the state narrative that in no way recognized or reflected that prediction.
Aaron, from when they call this man named Barbecue and say he kidnapping people, I knew there was a crisis in Haiti. See, that's what I knew. This was 2 years ago. But when United States announced that expect more boat people to be coming, I knew there's going to be a crisis.
From you, see, here's the thing. From you tell me the Americans say expect more boat people to be coming, I know there's a crisis.
Definitely.
But we knew there was a crisis decades ago.
No.
Because Haiti has been occupied. Mm. And what do we expect to happen? So on multiple layers, like I say to the Bahamian people and to the Bahamian government, there's no getting caught by surprise in this matter. Mm-hmm. Earlier in last year, Minister Keith Bell said, there's no crisis. Because the numbers of migrants, they're saying landed but detained, had not increased significantly, right? That's a myopic, we're looking at a silo approach. We're only looking at numbers repatriated. Mm-hmm. But everybody was aware that there was a crisis looming in Haiti. And everybody is aware that we cannot on our own prevent those boats from entering Bahamian waters.
Yes.
We know this.
Mm-hmm.
I don't understand what's happening with the Royal Bahamas Defense Force and the allocation of resources.
Let's talk about that.
The deployment, the purchasing and deployment and maintenance of resources, in particular our marine resources.
The last time we checked, Aaron, we saw that there were some boats that were purchased that the National Security, the Defense Force, would have had. We look at Inagua being the focal point in which the Haitians have to pass our persons from the far south coming up into the chain of islands. We realize that there is a shortage of maybe officers or Defense Force officers currently, but we have a lot of other young men that can be used in this particular portion of defense. I'm looking at the circumstances is that if the instability in Haiti is not looked at, I think that like he said, if a man named Barbecue kidnapping you, you're ready, you're headed down a slippery slope. The thing about it is the Bahamas has to protect its sovereignty and it has to protect its citizens as well, being if a citizen with health.
Protect them from what?
We have to protect them from potential threats. The threats are we have undocumented persons that are coming into the country. We don't know who they are. We don't know if some of them.
So let's pause.
I want to say something.
No, we get people coming into the country.
Okay.
It's a national security threat, right? But here's what I'm saying to you. Is it that only because it's migrants coming in through the borders that it's a national security threat? Is it because it's only Haitian migrants coming My position is this. We want to call it a migrant crisis because we're only looking at Haitians. I say to you that we have a border control crisis that extends well beyond, right? That extends well beyond the Haitian migrant scenario dynamic. We don't know what's coming into the country. We only think about it when it pertains to Haitian migrants.
What is hemorrhaging us?
I can tell you what's hemorrhaging.
We have to look at when we look at all of the walk of life that are coming in.
Trafficking. Human trafficking is hemorrhaging.
We know that there's something that's happening because our borders is basically the gateway to the world. But we're looking at things from a different perspective. We're looking at saying that comparably, this particular set of persons are coming in our country compared to these particular set of people.
But
we're looking at almost 800 people in less than 3 days.
Listen,
comparably.
The undocumented nature of the people coming in is the problem. what the Minister Keith Bell's statements in the article, Bell tells irregular migrants to leave or face deportation, right? Mm-hmm. If you read that article in The Guardian, he says, the department is presently reviewing our policies to strengthen our investigation and confirmation of the living conditions of all work permit holders, right?
That was quite vague.
When it is extremely vague. When you read the article from Sands about Leonard Sands, the BCA, the Construction Association's president, right?
Yep.
Construction collapse if all undocumented workers lost, right? If you were reading this, that's why I say it's important to let people talk so you could hear what they're saying. Mm-hmm. If you're listening to what all of these people are saying, the number of migrants in the country is not the problem because we don't have enough organized labor. I'm saying this specifically, organized labor to match the pace of construction and the projected pace of construction.
We have a construction boom right now.
In the country. What I am saying to you, that when you say that people are taking advantage of or exacerbating our systems, what I'm going to argue to you is that that migrant population is balancing off what they take out by what they contribute to the labor force
by virtue of the fact that they are organized.
Ian, I hear you, but I find that we need to talk about specifics. Let's pick up a topic out of the newspaper and talk about specifics. I want to talk about Leonard Sands. No, I hear you.
Yeah, yeah.
But these are things we've discussed before. This is nothing new. We know we always had an immigration issue. So bringing it out and hashing it out and going back and forth doesn't change it. However, the idea that Leonard Sands says that almost 70% of the workforce in the Bahamas, construction workforce, skilled and semi-skilled added together, almost 70% speaks Creole, be it be legal or illegal or whatever it is. That is striking. That needs to be investigated. That needs to be discussed. That needs to be analyzed and say, are you serious? Is he serious with that number that our construction workforce is operated and fueled by Creole labor? That Ministry of Housing, that AWAC Homes and the like has Creole labor pushing it forward. That is a discussion that we should be having instead of going back and forth that there's an issue in Haiti.
I'm glad you would have said that, CA. That means that somebody is engaging in those operations of hiring those particular persons. And in the Bahamas, if you are doing such things, and if it is not truly, if it's not documented, and if you are a person hiring those persons of labor, then I believe that you should be prosecuted. You see, the thing about it is the immigration problem is a management problem. And so if they're not managing the problem, then here goes our problem that we have.
Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, that's the point I was making, Ian. The point I was making is that the crisis is not the number of migrants in the country. The crisis is the inability to manage a migration system, a migrant system. That's the crisis. And it's important to point that out because the vitriol towards Haitians is rising tremendously and it is misplaced. And what I'm saying to you is when you use language that suggests that somehow the Haitians are taking advantage of us or are taking something away from us that they have not earned or that belongs to the Bahamian people, what I will tell you is that migrants are here working, and what outpaces why the Haitian migrant outpaces the Bahamian migrant is because the Haitian migrant is able to be organized, while the Bahamian laborer, right? All your employers are telling you it's difficult to organize Bahamian labor.
I want to put something inside this too, right?
Yeah.
Recently, Lincoln Bean and his grouping stopped some Haitian nationals and asked them questions. He said he's having a conversation according to his press release. And there is a quote that lay Bahamians use that there's no such thing as a good Haitian in the Bahamas. They all need to go, right? And I'm having that narrative of there's no such thing as a good Haitian, all need to go. And then Lincoln Bean accosting people on the street. And I could put this narrative of as good Haitians, Haitians with papers, Haitians who have status. And with the narrative of there's no such thing as good Haitians, right? Are we saying that Lincoln has a right to accost any
person with who have status, who maybe have citizenship, who maybe just a Haitian of Haitian descent, and have a right to question and say, are you a good Haitian?
Let's go one at a time. Aaron, I totally disagree with the way that the individual carried himself. Mr. Bain himself. I disagree with it because there is a right way to things and there's a wrong way to do things. At the end of the day, these are human beings. If a person is coming into our country the right way, the words is the right way, and they are legal, whether they are residents or they have work permits, and they are working in the Bahamas.
You mean they can't stop and ask some questions?
I'm saying to you, I have no problem with that. He has no right to stop and ask those particular questions and go in home by their house in the nighttime.
I can't knock on the door? No,
you can't. That's crazy. You're not an official. So right away, that was wrong for him doing that the way he did it.
Aaron, you got to talk some sense to Ian.
That was wrong.
Let me let Aaron talk some sense.
You
in a predominantly black country, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
How do you walk up on the scene and identify who...
They're blue, black, and have high cheekbones.
You talking about my Aunt Joan and my Aunt Juanita?
I would have picked them up, too. They would have get... If a Lincoln crew would have picked them up and send them off.
That's like pretty eyes.
Title is bite, you know.
Better be light skin.
Bait me today. Title is bite. But the point is, how do they know that who they are approaching...
The accent.
How do you know? Pause. No, hold on. The accent, right? So what you're saying is, I just walk in on the road, and then I hear someone speaking Creole, and so I stop. And that's what prompts me to stop. Mm-hmm. Because it don't happen like that. I have a feeling that they... Stalking people.
No. The dress code.
They're stalking people. There's no way that you just, I just thought I heard them speaking because I was walking past them. You stalking people. To another point, Ian, there's no good way to manage a nigger patrol. There's no appropriate
way. Say that again?
We're going to use the N-word for academic purposes only.
It's an academic word.
Because
now.
Ian suggested that fundamentally... Is nothing wrong with what is happening with Bain them. It's just you have to do things in order. Mm. And what I'm saying to you is there's no correct order. There's no right way to run a nigger patrol. You just out there looking for black people. And you don't care about nothing else.
And arrest them.
That's it. There's no right or wrong. There's no right way. It's just the only way. There's no fancying it up. There's no prettying it up.
I have a text here. Let me read the text.
Read the text.
So nobody is organic unless they are Lucayan. Be careful when you're defining this. That we're not creating the dangerous precedence of a pure race that doesn't exist. We can see how well that went in history. Yes, there is a crisis, but the words in which we use to define these things do matter. They do not cripple action. They make our actions fair and legal, and that's the kind of country we need to continue to create and stand for. Yes, this is a real crisis. This crisis is decades old, recognized legally since the late 1920s, and it seems to be combated with decisive strength, or it needs to be combated with decisive strength. But pretending there is a race of organic bohemians that ranks higher than others that are legally here in this country is untrue and unlawful.
Not just that, you know, to be certified organic, somebody has to certify you. The whole term and its use ranks of colonialism and imperialism. Somebody white have to come and certify you as an organic African. All of it is, and it manifests and shows you that it's rooted in misinformation. Right? Misinformation stuck in the minds of misguided people. Forget all of that talk, Ian. You in a black majority country filled with the descendants of formerly enslaved people. We ain't walking the road talking about, I have the right to question you.
No, immigration does.
How do you know?
Immigration does.
Right, what is the suspicion? Because you hear a group of people speaking Creole?
No, immigration can ask that question. That's still mandated too.
We're talking about immigration.
That's why you put them in that.
Right, and that's the that's the point you sort of initially made, right? If you are not an
official...
And it's not just that. See, even a police officer has to have reasonable suspicion to stop you and ask you for your papers.
That's what I say, random.
Even a police officer has to have a reasonable suspicion to stop you. Immigration officers don't have to tell you nothing. They don't have to have a reason.
I have a question for you, Aaron. Why is there the video camera? Why is he recording this? What do you think is the reason that he's recording this and putting it on social media? What is that? See, the recording is for a reason.
Followings.
Well, it's a couple of reasons, right?
Some kind of voyeur type thing.
One, following.
Right. But one is so we've documented and nobody could lie on us, right? And say that, oh, we physically detained them, right? That's one reason they do it. The second reason I think they do it is to perpetuate a fear, right? To build an image, a grand illusion, and perpetuate a fear in the minds of migrants.
There's a video every day, like 3, 4, 5 different videos producing. Like they have a cranking out of immigrant videos.
They hit a soft nerve. They hit a soft nerve. So they realized that stereotyping this particular sort of things, a lot of Bahamians will buy into the fact that, you know, fighting for a place that there is their home. If you say that we have a crisis and our home is at stake, then he realizes that targeted us off.
You think that's what he's doing there?
I mean, it's fascism.
Yeah,
it's fascism is what he's doing.
I have another text here. There will be a health outbreak of different viruses in our country stemming from these unsanitary boats coming in from Haiti. But on another note, I don't see why you all have problems with these boats filled with illegal immigrants. Didn't you all say, didn't you all say last week that Bahamians needed 1 million more workers? Well, you are getting your wish.
Hold on, let me respond to that. Dear Texter, come on, man. Let's practice a little bit of integrity here. You throw in very, very broad statements out there. Mr. Newry referenced an article where a third party, an economist, indicated for the Bahamian economy
to grow,
to drive forward, you would need to increase your population by 1 million people. That is what took place last week. Mr. Newry referenced an article with a statement by someone not in the conversation, and we talked about that. And last week, y'all already addressed this and tell us we're not 1 million Haitians, though. Mm. See? What do you want? You want to live good? That's what you want?
I believe that we need a level of growth, and I think 1 million persons will work for us. I think, but then we need experts and persons to be coming in the country who is going to help within the nation building of our country. But if you're coming in the right way and following the procedures and the laws of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas, I have no issue or problem with you.
Let me read this before I go to the phone line. Say, good morning. In my opinion, the Bahamas needs an uninterrupted 10 Defense Force boats patrolling the Bahamas, because the amount of money we spend on repatriation, we can purchase these boats. How many boats do we have, Aaron? I remember last time we had 2 boats down. And no one has given an update on how
many. We had 4 big boats, and 2 of the big boats were down.
We're down. And
I'm going to be honest,
I don't know who's patrolling. Do we have enough boats patrolling right now?
After the former prime minister walked into that hallway and I think very disrespectfully engaged the Commodore, the Royal Bahamas Defense Force, I think people stop asking questions. I think sometimes these guys politicize everything so much that people just pull back. They refuse to jeopardize their career by engaging on issues that they should do, but have become political hot topic issues.
I see another text here that says, Aaron is deflecting. The sloops are coming in large numbers from Haiti. We don't see other nationalities breaching our borders that way. And in those numbers, 400, 300,
right,
we are being invaded. Stop deflecting.
Listen, they
and
don't.
It doesn't matter if the Bahamians are encouraging them. They should be prosecuted. Did you all ever think that it may Haitians who have been naturalized that are hiring these people? A lot of them have construction and landscaping companies. Aaron needs to stop.
I don't know what I need to stop, but what I will say is this, is that they're coming in by commercial airplanes. They're coming in by other means. The Bahamas is not a human trafficking center, not recognized as a human trafficking center in the world for no reason, right? It's not that for no reason. So let's pause and be realistic and acknowledge that if it's happening with the Haitian migrant population, then it's happening with other populations as well. And it has nothing to do with anything but geography. Don't have to do with disrespecting Bahamians and black people. It's just
the amount, the numbers.
Geography.
Let's see if we can answer this line. Caller, can you hear me?
Hi, yes, I spoke to her. Give me a minute, I'm linked. Hello.
Hi, how are you doing? Dying to read your name.
It is just so interesting listening to this conversation. about the illegal migrants. That's what they are. They're illegal, right? When you breach someone's borders, you don't come through the right way getting a work permit or coming on the plane, and you come through the bushes, it's called illegal. It's breaching our borders. That's our law. I know the international arena has now changed the name to irregular, but it's illegal. It's against our laws. Now, Aaron needs to stop deflecting.
Good morning, ma'am. How are you?
I'm well. How about yourself? I love listening to you. But when you have an issue, say against the traffic laws in this country, I'm sure you, when you see someone breaking those laws, you have something to say because you always talk about it, right? Mm-hmm. Now, I am not I can't speak for Lincoln, but there was an issue regarding that person that he asked for his, what papers he has, because the person didn't speak English. There was a Bahamian woman who had complained to him and said that persons on the other side of her wall was throwing feces over the wall into her area.
That's not like a police matter.
And she had gone to the
Ministry of Health.
Excuse me?
That's not like a police matter.
The Ministry of Health issue.
She had gone to the Ministry of Environment, and they told her it's nothing they could do, but she could put a wall up, as far as I heard the woman saying. She actually said that.
Yeah.
So she, seeing that Lincoln is an activist and he helps him and Maria and some other people, I guess she had a conversation with him.
1 second. Can I ask you a question?
Sure.
I ask you a question. So you say that the lady said that the people were throwing feces over the wall and she went to the Ministry of Environment and they said they could do nothing. And so her next response was to go directly to Lincoln Bain and Maria Daxson.
Her next response was she put up a wall.
Okay, but she didn't go to the police. She didn't put up cameras. She didn't hire a private detective.
She didn't go to immigration. What I heard directly out of the woman's mouth. Now,
right. So maybe I could take this opportunity to share what options are available.
She put up a wall because they asked her, they told her that she needs to put up a wall. Right? And whoever she went to, I'm just showing you the series of events of what I heard. Right? Mm-hmm. I'm not saying he is right or she's wrong or I'm just telling you what the woman said out of her mouth.
Yeah, yeah.
So I don't know what the situation was as far as why she went to Mr. Bain, but she did. She ended up talking to him. So he, being an activist, and they help a lot of people, I guess he went back there to just check it out for her.
Threaten the man.
In his checking out, he came upon an outhouse right attached to the wall, which is against our rules, laws, and stuff.
They had an outhouse and still turning the stuff over?
And he didn't force the gentleman. He acquiesced. I guess he said, well, I hear with work permits. I don't have a problem showing nobody. But he didn't speak a word of English. I don't think that you should stop persons that way just arbitrarily. You and Roy, listen, let me see. No.
What about Call her one second. I haven't hung up on you. I just paused you for a second. Just one second, caller.
You should let that woman speak.
We are speaking. We're having a conversation. No. And there's a difference between
go ahead.
Just calling the radio to say anything and having a conversation, right?
Say your part.
What I'm saying is, what about trespassing? All right, so you don't think that people should be just walking up on people in the street, right? And I agree with you. What about trespassing? Do you think that people should be breaching private property to make inquiries? That's the question I have for you.
For you support a Bahamian and our laws, you jump on, these people's stories, they're taking advantage of that. We have to stop it, right? We have to stop it on all levels. We have to stop it, right? The first thing that happens, as far as I can realize, is they jump to the defense of why it's okay.
Mm-hmm.
Why it's okay for these people to continue to come the way they do on sloops. And why we say Haitians is because I saw a report put out by the Immigration Department of Repatriation. When I looked at that report...
We don't have a Department of Repatriation.
No, I'm just saying. The Department of Immigration put out a report on repatriation and broke it down by nationality.
Yes, ma'am.
When I looked at that, the first thing my eye went to, why, was 6,000 something compared to the nearest number, 100 of a Jamaican, 300. So we have, Aaron, a problem with illegal migration to this country.
Let me allow Aaron to respond to all of that. Because I understand and hear your passion, and I agree with you.
So, but I live in this country. I have children. I am a grandmother. You all need to stop it.
Stop what, man?
Just acknowledge the problem. Fix it. Repatriation is not enough, right? Sometimes you have to send a stronger message, like putting a moratorium on work permits and encouraging our Bahamian people, and stop saying that they're lazy. They're not lazy. Sometimes they need more direction. Hold on. Okay?
Thank you very much, ma'am. Now, Aaron, I want you to respond to all of that. The good lady is saying that perhaps we need to stop giving work permits to any Haitian moving forward. That's what I heard.
Let's try that. Let's try a day without Haitian migrants. Let's see how well the country responds. Here's the next thing, mm-hmm. right? Sands' comments may be skewed. They may be exaggerated, right? I'm not certain that 65 to 70% of the entire construction workforce is Creole speaking. Maybe unskilled labor, maybe, right? I can't say 65% of the entire construction workforce is Creole speaking. But if those
numbers are true,
are true or near to true, right? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And we look at other similar areas, the Bahamas cannot survive a day without Haitian migrants. If the numbers are true, not one day, not one sector can survive.
I have another text.
As evidenced by the caller. Mm-hmm. Some discussions require more than 15 seconds, Mins, because what's evidenced by the caller's response is that she caught snippets of our conversations, those that attach most to her position. That's all that she heard. So sometimes you got to give it a moment to flesh it out.
I'm just entertained that the people who had an outside toilet and yet they still throw the feces.
And they were part of this island.
I'm the text here. Says, he could, Lincoln Bean could ask anyone any question or for any information. They just don't have to comply or respond. So when the politician comes to our yard to campaign, is that trespassing? Can you use
word? If you don't want them there, it is trespassing. And if when you step on someone's property and they tell you to leave, it's trespassing. But here's where the best part is. The best part is Lincoln is a former police officer and a former lawyer or a practicing lawyer. I don't know if he ever been called to the bar. But he should have a better sense, right, mm-hmm. of what he can and cannot do. See, he shouldn't have to wait for the people to tell him, no, we don't want you on our property. He should know that without express permission, he shouldn't be on the property.
And then you go there in the nighttime, and then you go there in front of the woman children. You see, that's the problem. Mm. I don't think you should do that. You shouldn't do it.
Okay, I have another caller here. Let's pass the caller through. Caller, can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Go ahead.
Yes, sir. How are you doing, sir?
Hey, Sparky. Just make it quick. We have callers online.
Miss Green, I really tend to agree with that lady. Ms. Gray, I know you got a button and you can shut me up whenever you want to. But you seem to be against everything Bahamian.
Yeah, she did that. I knew it was coming.
Sparky knew it was coming.
I'm going to tell you why Sparky knew it was coming. Because Sparky, I entertained him this morning.
Mm-hmm.
I let him change the dynamic of the show slightly
mm-hmm.
and chastise me.
Mm-hmm.
I let him throw shade at me,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
That's what I did this morning.
Mm-hmm.
It's the second time he's calling in.
Twice.
And unlike the lady, Sparky was at this time very overt
mm-hmm.
with the shade.
Mm-hmm.
The lady was very rude by starting the conversation off by referencing me, but making it clear that she wasn't intending on talking to me,
mm-hmm.
which is why I insisted on talking to her.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And she insisted on refusing to talk to me.
Mm-hmm.
There are many things that we can tolerate in the public domain. That level of rudeness, I don't think, should be tolerated. And I think that this can parallel to the conversation that we're having about migration and who is allowed to stop, detain, and interrogate people in the road.
I have another caller here. Let's pass that caller through. Caller, can you hear me?
Hey, good evening. Good afternoon. How are you guys?
How you doing, man?
Great. I think people are passionate because it seems that there's no one advocating for Bahamians. Most times when you hear the talk shows, you always have a person, seemingly, not saying the impression that's given that you guys always beating down me. I don't, you know, you may censor me or cut me. I'm saying it appears to be. Every time you hear a talk show, especially on Guardian, it appears that behemoths are always talked down to. Like, you're quick to say behemoths are lazy. You're quick. I think in any demographic, you have persons who are lazy. When you're making absolute statements like that, it's not fair. Not to the whole country that behemoths are lazy.
I agree, because I ain't lazy at all. I just work hard. I just work two, three jobs.
I work four.
You know, but more, I think, Colin, more importantly, what people have been saying on my show, on Guardian Radio AM show, is not that behemoths are lazy, but their labor is unorganized. And there's somebody, there are people who actually have a responsibility to create a space where behemoths can organize their labor and compete with foreign labor factions in the country.
Go ahead, Colin.
Let me just make my statement that I can hang up in New York and talk. The only thing I'm saying is, this kicking this can down the road has been happening for decades now. This is the thing about this talking. We've been talking straight to it while you have persons reaching the borders. While we're talking, they're coming in. How long are we going to continue to talk? I mean, I make some great points. We need to organize labor. But you cannot allow any... What you want is organized labor, which is true. Like how Canada and different countries try to do, where you pick the best persons to build your economy. You just can't allow everybody coming, because then what's going to happen is...
Definitely. And we agree with you.
We agree with you.
And yeah, nobody... See, that's the point.
I'm going to hang up right now. This is my last point. All I'm saying is, you cannot be dismissing... It appears to be. If you choose my words carefully. It appears to be. Every time you turn on a radio show, anything, it always appears that humans are being talked down to. And I'm saying, if you continue to just like if you continue to talk about Haitians or denigrate Haitians like how they do in Haiti, they're back against the wall, they riot. And that's, I'm just calling for that. But if you keep on pushing behemoths against the wall, because we're passive, we tend to just talk and don't say anything.
But I ain't passive at all, no, especially not in my country.
Or gaslighting. If you keep on saying what we feel on the ground is not real, eventually something may happen. I'm saying,
hear us out. Okay then, Cole. Let Aaron respond to that.
Is this a... That's the thing. I hang up there. Okay, let me read this text. Let Aaron respond and say, as an employer, do I have a right to question and why? If you are on a work permit, why can't I ask required or require a person to produce permit as an employer? And if you're on a work permit, can employer slave you out to do work for others? That's what.
All right. Of course, an employer has a responsibility for certain things, right? Mm. Now, in this recent article with Keith Bell says that they're looking at the provisions because there's no requirement about housing, right? But when I learned this human rights law, right, and the human rights advocacy, that was not the case. So I want to see whether an amendment was made to the law to separate the employer's requirement to ensure that the employee is in proper living conditions. But certainly an employer has to ask a migrant.
Well, to them, that's a given. I don't know why we asked that question in general. Right. But Carla, can you hear me? Carla, you're on Guardian Radio?
You can hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
Good morning to you guys, Mr. Nuri, Mr. Munnings, and Ms. Green, and
that's
everyone else
listening
for up here. Ms. Green.
Yeah, yeah.
I feel like the lady wasn't rude to you. That ain't rude. That's just passion you hear. Big disagreement. Y'all could say, well, agree to disagree. She gives you a good example. And for years, that's why we love you on the radio, too. You don't play with our traffic laws over here when we break the laws and we do a bunch of foolishness on the road. You're an enforcer. You sound like you get a little hard for the four.
No, Papa.
Yes, ma'am?
Let's talk about it. I have been speaking passionately about this issue. Because we have had space to get on the radio, don't mind Cecil and Ian jumping in, you know. Don't mind them jumping in. Watch this. I have been equally as passionate about the Haitian migrant issue as I have been about the traffic issue. And this is relevant right now, because unless I am saying exactly what Bahamians want to hear, unless I say the thing, Papa, give me a second.
Aaron, no, I don't expect that from you. Too smart for that.
Papa, give me
even if people think that, but you,
Papa, you're not hearing me. Papa, you're not hearing me.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Like I told Cecil Newry earlier, this conversation is not just because it's emotive, it's because it's complex. Yeah. We have to give ourselves each other more than 15 seconds sound bites.
Tonight, you'll hear the passion in your voice talking to me right
now.
I hear it every time.
I'm feeling you. Proper. Mm-hmm. But then listen, if you're feeling me, listen.
Yeah, I'm listening, but I'm disagreeing with you.
But you haven't heard what I'm saying yet, Papa.
I heard what you tell
how
the lady,
you disagree.
And I'm just calling to tell you that what the lady was saying, right. I don't think she was rude.
And I'm going to tell you why I think she was rude, Papa.
Thank you very much, Papa. Right. I appreciate
hey,
it.
Listen.
Go ahead, Papa.
Put our foot down, but it ain't just like Aaron was saying, migration or trafficking humans. These people are bringing disease, and they bring in guns and drugs. They bring in disease in the body, right? And they bring in drugs and guns, so... Different from the trafficking, or they running away because they know law over there, and we must have a passion for them or have a heart for them. We can have a heart, but realize what is happening. The disease, the cholera, all of that coming, the guns and the drugs coming too. And they making money from it, laughing at us.
Okay, Papa, let Aaron respond to that.
All right, now let me say this again to you two gentlemen in the front of me.
Go ahead.
Things take more than 15 seconds to flesh out. This conversation is too complex and important to treat as tritely as that. Right? I go respond on...
Go ahead, Ian.
Yeah. My opinion...
Ian, don't speak.
No, Ian, don't speak.
Aaron, it's Mind Down Wednesday, and I will continue to keep talking.
First of all, if we're going to have a conversation... We're going to dialogue.
Ian, you're not going to let Cecil bait you like
that. He's not going to bait me, so, but what I'm going to say is this.
I was speaking, and you're not going to let Cecil bait you.
I allowed you, and then you're going
to... Cecil, tell him to stop. Ian, I'm telling you to stop because I was speaking. And I told Cecil, don't bait me.
Why is she trying to woman-splain us today?
It's very simple.
She tried to woman-splain us.
It's very simple. I will not allow people to call in and suggest, right, that I'm not listening and I'm not
listening. We know you're listening.
Gentlemen, go ahead. I need you to listen now.
Okay, I go quiet.
Because what I would like to point out is that it's okay because you're doing the same thing that the callers did.
Yeah.
So I thank you for proving what's happening.
Mm-hmm.
Papa, the lady was rude. We don't have to talk about that anymore, but I'll say it one more time. Don't call the show to address me and make it explicitly and pellucidly clear that you have no intention on talking to me.
Mm-hmm.
That is inappropriate for radio. And that's why other chronic callers and people have been blocked and have been banned for significant amounts of time. So don't make me explain something that other radio hosts have already established as radio culture. Secondly, some issues are so complex that they require more than 15 seconds. And I will say this to you, Mr. Newry. We have to treat this topic more seriously than that, because that is the behavior that the people are driving at. Secondly...
That's 30 now.
That's great. Because I disagree... with your position, or because I'm not saying what you think I should be saying, because my words don't solve your discomfort, doesn't mean that I'm not passionate about the issue. Fourthly,
fifthly now, Aaron.
My position is that government systems have collapsed to the point where you cannot solve this problem. The crisis is not the migrant coming here. Migration is even older than the Bible that we claim is the oldest thing on the planet. It's older than that.
So can I let Ian chime in now? I just, you're a girl now. He's a cousin. We family. So I just want to make sure I get...
You might as well let him speak because you're not listening.
But you said...
Like the callers.
The people have the right to hear our opinion, Aaron.
Yes.
They don't have the right to be rude.
No, we're not talking about being rude because we're not going to agree to them to do things that should not happen. I'm saying to you, but they do have the right to their opinion.
They do. They don't have the right to be rude.
No, I agree with you. But I'm saying they have the right to their opinion.
Yes.
And sometimes their opinion may be assumed as if it was against something or malicious towards...
Let's get this caller in before our time runs out. Go ahead, caller. Caller, can you hear me?
Good morning. Yes. Good morning. You are absolutely 1,000% incorrect in your statement.
What did I say?
The statement she made that she was speaking about the lady just now, being rude, and what Mr. Dan has done is trying to set a bad precedent in this country, okay? Nobody has the right otherwise than immigration or law enforcement to ask people for their documentation. Does it happen in any other country? No. How many derailments are in the United States of America right now with no documentation? Nobody's coming to them otherwise than INS coming to them to find out if they were dead. That is wrong. Okay? And what Mr. Bain did should have never happened.
Agreed.
Okay? Because what happens? Now, what if other behemoths who follow suit or follow his path decide they want to do the same thing? Mm-hmm. Okay? And they're also sending around alleged videos of things that happened in Haiti and saying it's on Compton Road. Last week they did that. Where the guys, the gangs had the guns.
The evil.
That is wrong.
The evil. Okay? That's evil.
Malicious intent.
If you take a look, it's a check. Check out some of those persons who are making all the argument and all the noise.
Mm-hmm.
Check just their name. And check the origin of those names, then you'll understand what really taking place, right? They don't even know their own history. All right? You guys have a nice day, man.
I appreciate it, sir. Let's go to the next caller. Caller, can you hear me? Yeah, I'm trying to squeeze you in.
Good morning, Ms. Green. Good morning, Luby.
How you doing, man? Luby in here.
Hey, Ms. Green.
No, Luby's not here. Luby's somewhere else. Luby in here.
Oh, this sound like Luby. This guy, this Eric, sorry.
Yes, Ian.
Ian Munnings.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, listen, sorry about that. Ms. Green, you know, the thing is, I would forget everything that was said, right? But what for me, as a behemoth, right, I look at the influx, right? I look at it as a threat and like as a disrespect. Like I see the amount of people coming in. I was trying to find out if someone could explain to me how this do it, man. Like they round park on this boat, man, Aaron, man.
They come for survival.
They're eating and defecating on this boat and they doing all these things. I mean, I'm just saying, but I was trying to find out. It's fascinating to see how and why they would do this, but I'm saying is the numbers, the sheer numbers alone should be a concern. So this is not a joke. And then let's say with immigration, right? We need immigration to do their job. Since we have this recent influx, why is it that they just can't initiate mass exercises to find the migrants who just came in instead of just sitting back and saying when they reach, they safe? This is ridiculous. If we continue along this paradigm, and but Ms. Green, I agree with you as far as management of the migration, right? But then there's information being serviced that somebody has issued a work permit right after they got a passport. But we're not willing to address the real problems behind this migration crisis. Forget the. I mean, I'm glad that Dr. Dowell mentioned the biosecurity paradigm, but I was talking about that way before him. That's what I'm saying is, but this is not a joke.
What's the real reason why the Haitians are coming here? 52?
Because they can, and they have family members here, and they're being assisted.
Okay, so what's the reason why they're leaving? What's the reason why they're leaving Haiti?
Instability.
Yeah, but they can't solve Haiti problems. They need to address. They need to address funds. Haiti of the I think the second largest deposit of iridium. You know what iridium is?
Exactly.
It's a metal. So sodium,
exactly.
Magnesium, potassium, iridium.
Exactly.
It's $6,000 an ounce. Let them get it together, man.
They need to stabilize Haiti for
government. Listen. You don't want to tell me nothing. I live with these people, man. I love these people. Listen to me. There's too much people. I see that amount of people as an insult to us. That's what I see it as, Aaron. Bless up.
Bless up. I'm of the opinion as this I'm seeing, mm-hmm. is that the immigration problem that we say we are in a crisis with, the Bahamians that are employing, whether it is expats or Bahamians that are employing persons that are not registered or don't have work permits, they are the problem. The problem is larger than just us saying that we have a migration to this country. We need the persons that are employing these people, whether it be in the night, in the day, whether they're cleaning hotels, whether they're cleaning the rooms, whatever it is. If you are employing persons that are not registered to work in the Bahamas, you are the problem.
Aaron, I want you to answer this. Good morning. Unfortunately, this illegal immigration crisis is already an explosive point for Bahamians. The only solution is for the government to get up off their lazy butts and get the situation under control. They're blaming government and saying that with government inaction, is going to cause problems.
I mean, I've been saying for months, if not years now, that it is government in action at the root of our problem. See, 52 at least answered the two separate questions. Why are they coming here is one question. The more important question, though, is why are they leaving Haiti? They're coming here because we are the closest to them outside of the Dominican Republic. Where we have anecdotal stories of executions of migrants on the road, right? So ask yourself again, why are they coming here? The question is, why are they leaving Haiti? And what can the Bahamas do to stop them from leaving Haiti? What can we do to stop them from entering our borders undocumented, right? What can we do to manage them when they get here? The crisis sits with us. There's a larger crisis. And with this larger crisis, what we need to understand is, if for any reason we have political turmoil where we cannot elect a government, the United States and the global North community is going to come into our country and assume control the same way they have done in Haiti. And until we sit down and properly analyze the problem, we're going to be sitting here beating up our gums, targeting the wrong people and exacerbating the problem as opposed to solving it.
Let me squeeze in this last call, Aaron. Go ahead, caller, hang up. That was your chance there. I have an odd text, right, Aaron? I'm going to read that before it's time to go. It says, y'all may be ill-advised because y'all went to private school and don't live in the ghetto and never been there. But Haitians are hostile, wicked, nasty, cannibalistic, terrorists that worship Satan.
Oh,
this is a behemoth saying this? No. I'm not sure if you understand the contempt inside the words of that, right? I'm concerned, right? I can understand that, hey.
You're concerned. Excuse my boy, but you're ain't concerned. What you and Ian?
You're
ain't concerned.
Aaron.
And nor are you terrified.
You never get stopped on the side of the road because you dark and have high cheekbones.
Oh, but tell me.
You got brown eyes. You got brown eyes.
But tell me about how I've been...
Yes, that's a different story.
Is it a different,
oh,
story?
That's a different story.
Because I
dock. I'm like apples and grapes.
And I concern people might stop me and say, I gotta get deported. And I've been here a long time.
It's because you got a little tin eyes.
200 odd years. You know? Something wrong. This has been Guardian Radio in the AM. Of course, you had Aaron Green with me, and of course, Ian Munnings. Aaron and I will be discussing.
Man down,
right? Aaron will be joining me again tomorrow. So we'll have a wonderful day. Bye-bye.